been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, the collapse in oil prices theme to today's show, which I think we called the top yesterday in oil. Once again, another big call. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite. He's the birthday boy today on this March the 10th, 2026, and we are off to the races again here this morning. We had a big turnaround in the market yesterday when oil started to fall. Today we've opened up to the downside a bit. The NASDAQ is down 21 points right now. That's just 0.09%. NASDAQ's at 22,675. It did finish with a flourish yesterday, however. The Dow is down 149 right now. That's 30 basis points. The Dow's at 47,951. The S&P is down 17 to 6,778. And the small caps are actually in the green right now. They're up about 1 point. A little bit here, but the big story and the story behind this recent volatility in the market has been oil prices, which got clear up to $104 per barrel yesterday. Today they're at 87. We're down $17 per barrel since I called that top in oil yesterday, and that should help soothe the nerves of the market. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, the birthday boy, our chartered financial analyst, our CFP, and the guy that will be blowing out the candles on the birthday cake tonight.
Yeah, and, I'm going to your restaurant, Bill. I'm going to Hall's. So.
Oh, guy, don't tell them you know me. They might require you to pay in advance or something. No, I'm just kidding. I do know the owners of Hall's very well.
No, the odd thing is around my birthday, it's always been, there's always something odd. I think, for example, 08, 09, right, when you hit the low of the market, 667 was, I think, March 9th, just before my birthday. And then, of course, I think a couple of years ago, I'm pretty sure the news of Silicon Valley Bank came out either on the 9th or 10th.
That's crazy. What's going to happen today?
Well, we had the oil yesterday. Okay. Biggest intraday drop for oil ever. So, I mean, it was literally spiking, and then the president essentially made it go the other way.
Yes, and it came right after I said, I think there's a top in oil right here. You know, the market gets it wrong all the time. I mean, just time after time after time, they make the same exact mistakes the crowd does. And some are more glaringly obvious than others. And I thought this run-up in oil was about as obvious as I've ever seen of being ridiculous. It's not like all of a sudden we've got this extreme demand for oil and we can't get enough supply. You know, it's just, I think really that, I mean, I hate to say it, whether you like Trump or not, half the world, well, half the country, minus a few people, don't like him at all. And they get caught up in just, you know, he can't do anything right, blah, 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 blah. But if you look back, you know, even during Biden's reign, there were people that hated Biden, and they would bet one way just because of their political beliefs. That's not a good idea. You know, I go to the numbers. I don't care who's in office. I go to the numbers. And I think that there is definitely such a thing as Trump derangement syndrome. And they hate him so much, and they paint the picture so dark. We're going to be in this massive war, endless war. We're not going to be able to get any oil. The Straits of Hormuz will be closed for years. You know, anything to make him look bad, which it was the same mentality during the tariffs, okay? Whether you like him or not, you got to admit that, you know, the market has been wrong about almost everything that he has done. And that shows up in new highs for the market, all-time record earnings for the S&P. It would have maybe happened under Biden. It's really the companies that are running, you know, the show here, the CEOs of these companies. But they go so far to make him look bad, or to make Biden look bad, or whoever the president is, that you can kind of use that as a profit of a profit-making scenario when you say, you know, the market's got it wrong. The market has it wrong. So anyways, we did get a big, huge bounce in the market yesterday. We had a pretty steep sell-off. I mean, if you look back at the timeline, Barry, Sunday night, the futures were down 800 points on the Dow. And oil was above $100 per barrel, okay? And then by the end of the day, and here we are today, we were way down in the morning, and we finished up yesterday with a pretty good gain. And oil, which was at 104, is down under 90 now. So all of that hype built into the market and all of that negativity built into the market over the weekend disappeared. And, yes, he did say something. He said the war is almost over oil prices should start dropping, right?
And, and that's the thing. So here we were talking about it last night. You remember that it's, you know, literally three words, right? And you know, who and you could take those three words, interpret those in any in a bunch of different ways, right? But whatever it is, it moves the market. I mean, you can't, sometimes you can't fight the tape. And you know, you talk about this veil of pessimism, right? I mean, you know, the Michigan Consumer Survey, you know, 45% of the people are going to be mad until, you know, until the next presidential election.
Yes, and, you know, the other thing that was quite obvious, well, you had oil up 14% yesterday morning at one point in time, and by the end of the day, it was down 1.63%. And the other thing I know that I've learned over the years is the psychology of the market. When you've got these big fat gains and greed has set in, and all of a sudden Bitcoin's 125,000, you got a lot of people that are ready to run, to sell, run, take their profit, because that's a gift. That doesn't happen in silver very often. It doesn't happen in crypto very often. It doesn't happen in oil, especially. Oil moves almost glacially, at a glacier-like speed, but it all of a sudden moved at a meteoric-like speed. So you've got all these people sitting on the hot seat with big profits, and you just know that anything, any kind of news whatsoever, like, okay, Saudi Arabia is starting back up their refinery, which they closed, you know, because of abundance of caution. Just something like that will get all these people sitting on the hot seat going, man, I better sell. And selling begets selling, especially when there's big profits. And they're sitting on these big profits. And then, you know, I saw the lead article on Seeking Alpha today. Talk about ridiculous. There's a lot of people writing articles on there that are just doing it for sensationalism. They have no business writing articles, really. And this guy said, the article said, fill up your car today, Barry, because it's going to get a lot worse. Okay? So that means he thinks that it's going to go to 150, 200.
They must have wrote that. They wrote that one yesterday before before the president's post, I guess.
Right? But here's the thing. People eat that stuff up because it's the top trending article on Seeking Alpha. So we've gone so far in media. Well, it's a different world that we live in today. Do you know what the number one media company in the world is now, by far? YouTube.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay, YouTube is a bunch of amateurs, right, that are doing things, filming themselves and whatnot, and it has now become the largest media company. So you have to be careful where you're getting your information from. These days, you have to be very, very careful where you're getting your information from, because it's coming from people that have no business making, you know, these kinds of predictions and whatnot like that. And I think it's only going to get worse.
Well, in particular, journalism. I mean, journalism doesn't exist anymore.
That doesn't even exist.
It's agenda or entertainment, right? I mean, that's really what...
On both sides. On both sides. It just does not exist. But so you, at the end of the day, you personally are responsible for determining truth of your sources. And, you know, truth actually shows up in the stock charts every day. There's no arguing with those stock charts. There's no arguing with the profit margins of the S&P 500. There's no arguing with the record earnings. And, you know, I see more by doing that than by listening to all the noise. Oh, there's so much noise out there. And much of it will deceive you if you're not careful. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we had the big reversal yesterday as oil prices fell dramatically, and it was, like Barry said, the biggest one-day drop in history. And, of course, I also said that as oil prices come down, stocks will start heading back up again. And it's not across the board. It's not all stocks that headed back up, but a lot of the leadership stocks yesterday turned around very, very nicely and ended up having a very good day. I did some buying yesterday in some stocks that had pulled back. And by the end of the day, you know, SanDisk was up 11.6% by the end of the day yesterday. And Argan, which is in our emerging growth, it was up 12.6%. Very constructive moves in Cameco, in the Korean ETF, which with the two chip makers. ASM Lithography had a big day yesterday. GE Vernova continues to do well. AMD, all those stocks were up over 5% yesterday after that big monster turnaround after you know, Trump made the comments. Now, here's another thing. It depends on who you listen to. There's a lot of people. If you listen to Trump, it's almost over. If I listen to Hakeem Jeffries or Chuck Schumer, you know, I hear that this is going to be, he's got us into another endless war, and oil prices is just coming at a bad time. It's going to kick back. Inflation's going to come back. And on top of high food prices, we're going to be paying more for our gasoline at the pump for a long, long time. So, you know, I mean, look, you have to listen to both sides and then determine for yourself what's reasonable and what's logical. Sometimes if you feel very emotional one way about the one way or the other, maybe you hate Schumer, maybe you hate Trump. It doesn't really matter. Somewhere in there is reality and the truth and logic.
And earnings per share.
And earnings per share and a chart. And one thing I've learned over the years, and it almost, I don't think I've ever seen it fail. A parabolic chart is very, very vulnerable, extremely vulnerable. When you get three gaps, that's where it opens. There's a gap. Like, okay, it closed yesterday at 87, and it opens at 93. That's a gap of $6 per barrel. Then the next day, closes at 93, and it opens at 99. That's a gap. There was no trading in between. It gapped up. And in oil, you had three or four gaps in a row to the upside. That's just not sustainable. Gravity at some point in time is going to take over. Now, it could go back up over 100 once again. You know, gold and silver, after they got hammered on that Friday, several Fridays ago, they have made several attempts at a comeback. But once you take that edge off of it, once that momentum, once that helium comes out of the balloon, it's hard to get it going again. So anyways, that's another lesson. That's another chapter in the book that, you know, I'm writing. The sequel is about when sequel. To sell, right? Yeah. You want to be careful. If you get a bunch of gaps and you get into parabolic, and parabolic to the downside sometimes, you know, you can pick up some nice bounces off of those parabolic moves. Okay. Now, what else do we have? We have still earnings out there. That are coming in. And of course, now, here's another thing. You can listen to Iran's leader right now, and he's saying the oil blockade will persist until the attacks end. Iran's Revolutionary Guards on Tuesday said that they would not allow 1 liter of oil to be shipped from the Middle East if U.S. and Israeli attacks continue. They say, we are the ones who would determine the end of the war. Well, we'll see about that. Trump, on the other hand, is saying that the U.S. tax could rise sharply if Iran sought to block tanker traffic through the Straits of Hormuz, which handles 1/5 of the world's oil supply. He says we will hit them so hard that it will not be possible for them or anybody else helping them to ever recover that section of the world, Trump said at a news conference on Monday. And then he also put out on a Truth Social post, if Iran does anything that stops the flow of oil within the Straits of Hormuz, they will be hit by the United States of America 20 times harder than they've been hit thus far, he said. So, it's who do you want to listen to? And, of course, on the outside there, you have a third party. You have Putin. After speaking with Russian President Vladimir Putin, Trump said the United States will waive oil-related sanctions on some countries to ease the shortage, according to a Reuters report. And then I just mentioned that Saudi Aramco, which is the biggest public-traded company in the world, I think it's $6 billion. I don't know where it stands right now in relation to NVIDIA, which is at $4.5, $5 billion. But Saudi Aramco says that their big refinery restarted after the drone attack a week ago. So that's also big news that will also put downwards pressure on oil prices. Okay, one of the areas that was hit so hard, which didn't make a lot of sense that the chip sector was selling off so hard on rising oil prices. But the theory was that energy, the cost of making a semiconductor, will go way up. Well, that seems to have moderated now. Taiwan Semiconductor reported that their January and February revenues. Now, they had a good January and February last year. You thought last year was good. Well, they're up another 30% from last year. That's their sales. Combined revenue of $719 billion for January and February, up 30% from the same period a year earlier. And, of course, Taiwan, TSMC, which produces... You know, and here's another thing. Don't you think that China is watching what's going on there around Iran and saying, I don't know if we want to attack Taiwan just yet. We're not quite
Certainly.
Ready.
No, I mean it's certainly a deterrent, and I think it's, I mean, they've been eerily quiet, and likely one of the countries that's been the most affected by the war, because they were getting, you know, cheap oil from Iran for a long time.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, just from my perspective, it seems like Iran is getting clobbered as far as the fighting goes. They're getting clobbered. But then I watch the news, and it's like, well, it's a draw right now. Well, where's the truth? You know, is Iran getting clobbered, or is Iran putting up this big fight and giving us hell, and maybe Iran will win?
Yeah, you just have to use a little bit of logic from time to time. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We should have another article out here tomorrow on, I've said many times, you can buy the chip, the semiconductor ETF, and get all the chip stocks when there's only really about five or six really good chip stocks out there. And, of course, Taiwan Semiconductor would be one. And Taiwan makes chips for Apple, NVIDIA, AMD, some of the great chip makers out there. And we'll probably have an article out on Taiwan at some point in time. But the one that we've got coming out tomorrow is on one of the other major chip makers out there.
It'll be one you recognize.
It looks pretty good right now, too.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, today we're going to get earnings from Oracle. That's kind of been a disaster lately.
That's going to be an interesting one. It was up pre-market. I haven't looked at it since the market opened. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be one of these that I want to read the transcript in terms of the earnings call just because of so much turmoil has been around them. I mean, they're kind of the ones that started some of this, you know, AI panic in terms of, hey, you know, we're building too much or they took on too much debt. And their stock has certainly suffered.
That's a terrible chart. It's just awful. It's gone from $345 per share last September, about 6 months ago, and it's now $149. So it's been cut, and it's down 60% from its high.
And remember the day? Remember there was the day where it went up and actually, you know, made Ellison, wasn't he like the richest man in the world for like a day and a half or 24 hours? And then you can just literally from that height of the chart, right? You can, I mean, that's where the downward part, that was the high.
And that's one of the companies that has been on the receiving end of this private credit. Well, I guess private credit. I don't know if Oracle's big enough.
They did a big bond issuance, and so they took on, you know, the problem is they took on a lot more debt, and they've been, you know, a lot of these companies that used to be big, you know, have lots of cash, and they were very cash flow rich companies on a month, you know, year to year, quarter to quarter basis, and they've been spending all that money, right? They're investing that money, so they're not as cash rich as they used to be. So
no,
be
not
interesting
at all.
To see.
And tomorrow we're going to get Adobe, or actually Thursday. That's another one that's kind of a troubled company. Lousy chart, hurt by AI, hurt maybe. I don't know if they've taken on debt too. And I saw that one of the big banks, let me see who that is creating a product where you can bet. Goldman Sachs' new product lets hedge funds take short and long bets on corporate loans. Okay, they must see some kind of trouble ahead, and that's where this whole private credit thing comes in. The total return swap is a derivative contract that enables investors to profit from changes in the market value of loans.
Yeah, it's good. Probably not a bad hedging tool for some, you know, for some institutions out there as well that, you know, that maybe they're exposed to debt and they have to be, whether it's pension funds or other things. But yeah, it's interesting that they're making a market. You know, Michael Burry would have loved,
yes,
would love them for make something like that back in 2005.
Exactly. And, you know, the only thing I can think of that's publicly traded, there's an ETF that iShares puts out, which is against the junk bonds. It's HYG. Let's see. No, HYG is the positive side.
Let's see.
I'm trying to think what you're talking about. Is it TBT? Must be TBT.
It might be TBT. Yeah, I think it's the one we use. Or it's not TLT, is it? No, that's
no. I think it's TBT, which is ultra short, the long bond. But as far as picking on corporate debt, there's really nothing there out there that will do that. But I would not be surprised to see some ETFs come along that pick on some of these private equity companies that are loaded.
SJB. Yeah, that's SJB. The one we used along. Yeah. That's a ProShares one. It's been around for a long time. Yeah, SJB. So.
It is the inverse performance of the liquid high yield bond index. And it has been curling up here recently. It's been fairly flat for a long time. But if these high yield bonds start to go south, SJB, which I have on my watch list every day, would be a natural play against that. I just think it's a matter of not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. And we keep our antennas up. There hasn't been much news because this whole war and the oil prices and everything has dominated the news. But one big analyst last week said, hey, I would turn my attention away from the war and back to this private credit situation that is brewing underneath the surface of the market. And I would agree with that sentiment. Okay, Anthropic, I think they made a big bad decision. They decided to put restrictions on how the government could use their AI, and they didn't want it used for weaponry and whatnot. Well, the Pentagon said, forget it then. We're not doing business with you. And that's one of those private equity deals. So if you're buying into private equity, a lot of them tease, oh, you'll get exposure to Anthropic. Well, that's not such a good thing. Anthropic says that the Pentagon ban could hit them for billions of dollars in revenue.
And didn't they sue? They brought suit.
The government, yeah, but
that was the response.
Win.
Yeah, no. That was the government's response in terms of the suit. That's right. Yes.
So I think, you know, not only is private credit in trouble, but a lot of the private equity that they've packaged and put together and are reselling, like StepStone has a product for guys, investors like us. I think that's also going to be problematic. Exxon is moving their legal home to Texas from New Jersey, citing a friendlier business environment.
You think?
We've seen a lot of that recently. You know, California, obviously, a lot of businesses have left California because they look at businesses as the villains. And New Jersey, it makes sense for Exxon to be headquartered in Texas. There's a lot more oil in Texas, I would think, than in New Jersey. But anyways, they're joining other companies that have flocked to Texas searching for a more business-friendly home. And that's a big trend of businesses leaving states like New York, California, Illinois, et cetera, and going to business-friendly states. J.P. Morgan sees a 10% S&P 500 pullback on heightened war concerns. Okay, now there's a whole nother opinion out there. They think that it's going to get worse. U.S. stock traders may be positioned for a potential 10% correction in the S&P 500 as the Iran war escalates. Now, they tend to be pretty negative. They definitely, J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon have always been pretty bearish and pretty negative. Morgan Stanley, meanwhile, argued that the market's rolling correction since last fall is almost over. Chief Investment Officer Mike Wilson, who's also been a bear over the years.
He has been. Yeah, look at him.
Profound bear, wrote that the bank maintains its bullish, when he goes bullish, maybe it's time to go bearish, on the stocks over the next 6 to 12 months. And, of course, if you read my newsletter and go to the macro outlook, I made a big point in the newsletter last week. While oil prices are rising, so are earnings for the S&P 500. And while the market is falling, earnings expectations are rising. So that's a good situation. You know, it wasn't warranted for the market to sell off like it did, because I really truly believe that this oil, this big hike in oil prices, is temporary. Transitory. YouTube, now the largest media company in the world. It just, you know, here's another thing that when I read that, I thought, you know, Google's got a lot of irons in the fire. Number one, they have Gemini 3. Gemini 3 is being called way ahead of Anthropic, way ahead of OpenAI and Microsoft, way ahead of Grok as far as that goes. I was in Phoenix recently, I see people getting into the Waymo cars. It seems to me like they're the market leader right now in the autonomous cars.
Did you get in one of those? Didn't you tell me?
No.
You were joking. It was an option. It went in as an option on there, I think. That's what it popped up. Yeah,
I'm not ready to get into a car with no driver. The other thing they have is chips, AI chips, that they sold a bunch of to Meta. So they've got a lot going on over there at Alphabet, and they've kind of nipped. Now they've got the biggest media company in the world with YouTube. That's a lot going on. No wonder we own it. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. We do have a date penciled in for Sarasota. We'll give you the when it's finalized, but right now it looks like April the 6th, 7th, and 8th, which is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Week after Easter, so I can
after.
I can remember that. Yeah.
That's right. I'll do a workshop either Monday night or Tuesday night. We haven't decided yet. We haven't got the location. We're looking at Lakewood Ranch, obviously, one of the spots over there. So you'll have a chance to meet with us in person. I'm bringing down the team. I have two new members of the team that are understudies. So the Gunderson method goes on. If anything were ever to happen to me, which I don't anticipate anything, but I'm not in control of that. Buffett finally named a successor at the age of 93. I got a long ways to go, and I love what I do. Okay, so anyways, that will be April 6th, 7th, and 8th in Lakewood Ranch area. Edie will be doing the job there, like she always does, and smoothing that out and getting everybody in to meet with us in those one-hour appointments.
Queen of the schedule. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be doing that workshop with the methodology behind all of this, which is, in one word, it's logic. That's what I think. It's a big bunch of logic.
Yeah, it's a good teaching session. It just tells you, it goes through how you value, what you look at, what you're thinking when you're looking at a name or before you're going to make a buy. So it's relevant because, it's not like you've got
changes.
Some set. I was going to say, it's not like you got some PowerPoint that you're working off of. I mean, it depends on, whatever happens in the market is what happens, and you talk about it.
I taught that to the Sun City West a couple of weeks ago. And they really, really enjoyed it. They said it's the best workshop on the stock market that they've ever seen. I'm just telling you what they said, okay? And we got a lot of people asking questions afterwards, and they'd never seen anything like it. And it's just logic. That's all it is. So anyways, coming your way to Sarasota, and then, I don't know, I think in maybe the Cleveland, back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
After that, and then Minnesota.
You'll have to see where your Padres
Detroit.
Are. You have to see where your Padres
yep.
are playing.
But. I'm going to look at. I know that the Padres are going to Cleveland this year, and I know that they're going. Cleveland and I know they're going down to Tampa too. They're going to play Tampa Bay Rays, but they're playing at a minor league stadium right now.
They'll definitely be in Atlanta. So,
we always go to. Oh, and we're going to get over to Atlanta too.
That's a good one.
That's really starting to. You know, we just started that show there several months ago.
Back in the market there, yeah.
And it's just like kicking right now. All right, now in this final segment of the show, I like to talk about some individual stocks and other things. Micron is going to report earnings. Believe it or not, soon, March 18th, 8 days, and they are likely to reiterate the robust memory cycle. Well, I don't think, yeah, I can't argue with that. That has not been resolved. You've still got Micron, SanDisk, SK Hynix, and Samsung, the four big memory makers that just cannot keep up with the demand whatsoever. And so we'll see. That'll be a big earnings report. And as I mentioned, SanDisk was up 11.8% yesterday. The consensus earnings for the quarter for Micron will be $8.60. That's for 90 days. That's incredible. You mean that's an annual rate of $35 per share, and they're going to do $19 billion in revenue. That's the estimate. That's just incredible. Raytheon, I did not know they own Pratt and Whitney. They win a follow-on contract for the TJ-150 engines for missiles, and that's another hot area of the market. In my book, Raytheon is the best defense stock by far, and you know, with them quadrupling their supplies for the U.S. government and their production, that's going to juice earnings.
Yeah.
And then you've got Europe. Europe is the spending in Europe for armaments has increased 43%. There's a Swiss company, and of course the Swiss have always been neutral, but not anymore. They have
they're at least making weapons, right?
Well, they've decided we need to make money. Their parliament voted in December to loosen restrictions on weapon sales abroad, and now they have a very robust domestic defense industry in Switzerland, and Germany is the biggest buyer of weaponry. And, you know, I would think a country like Dubai that all of a sudden sees missiles coming in, maybe they're going to start looking at a missile
Certainly
shield
some missile
like
defense.
Israel has, right?
Well, and you know they can afford it, right? So, I mean, yeah, it's things like that would be something that they would want to spend some money on.
Exactly.
Lately.
NVIDIA in focus as Bank of America reiterates buy ahead of a GTC event. That's a big event that's coming up. Let's see if I got the date on that. Next week. Then they put out a $300 target price on NVIDIA. NVIDIA's held up very well during all of this war talk and rumors of war and real war and missiles flying, and NVIDIA continues to be the number one chip stock out there. CrowdStrike rises after upgrade at Morgan Stanley. You know, CrowdStrike, in my book, is the second best semiconductor stock behind Palantir. And DraftKings, I got no interest there, but they're creating a buzz with their new unified super app. Man, it's going to have it all. You know, Santa Anita racetrack, the Lakers, baseball.
Prediction markets.
Yeah, you can bet on just about anything. Now they've got even, when will so-and-so be assassinated? You know, I think it's getting a little out of hand with these prediction markets.
Yeah, let's don't predict that someone's going to die. I mean, it was funny. I mean, the prediction market, you know what they got right? Gnome. So for Gnome was like on the top one to be the first that was gone, right? Fired. And she was at the top for like 3 months.
Well, who's the first baseball manager to go this year in 2026? My bet is, I don't know, the Padres got a guy that was a relief pitcher out of the bullpen. I don't know. We'll have to see. Jury's out on him. Okay, we're out of time.
to talk to us about portfolio management. We have five products here at Gunderson Capital Management, five different portfolios, and they ebb and flow with the markets. I'm unconstrained with those portfolios. And we have, for the do-it-yourselfers, we have the subscriptions. Go to GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.